This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Newsmakers. This is the place you want to be for your local talk, for everything important to us here in the Mid-Valley. Good ideas, good initiatives, so-so institutions. I don't know, sometimes great institutions and certainly some of our civic initiatives. Thanks for joining us. It's an honor to be sandwiched in here for your local talk between Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly.
All right.
How special are we?
We're right up there.
This is Brent Hart. I'm here with Dave Bourne, and today is a happy day. I have with us here in the studio my favorite guest ever. Always will be my favorite guest.
I would hope so.
And we're going to talk about something that so many of us struggle with and so many people are continuing to deal with, and that is parenting. Parenting. Our kids. Our kids' education. What we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, and who do we turn to? So I've invited back to the studio one of our favorite guests from, like, it's been like 6 months.
At least.
It's been like 6 months since we've had her on. We have the illustrious Miss Linda. Miss Linda, full disclosure, Miss Linda lives close to my house. She lives in my house.
I would hope so.
And I've been married to this adorable young lady for 29 years.
Good job.
And so I have my own resident expert. So welcome to the studio, Linda.
It's nice to be here.
Nice to have you. I invite her and I ask her to come on the show. She's like, what am I going to talk about? Well, let me give you a list.
Okay.
So an introduction to Miss Linda, and we call her that because that was the format when she started teaching a few years back. And that's what they call it. And she was not yet married or just got married, but whatever. And the teachers are called Miss So-and-so.
Right.
Miss So-and-so.
Yeah, kids.
Although she is now Mrs. Her nickname, and if you really want to get her attention, you yell, "Hey, Miss Linda." And she's also a facilitator of Love and Logic, Parenting with Love and Logic, and she's done so for many years, off and on, with her partner, Jean Rawlings, who has also worked for Salem Kaiser Schools in the area. And so we're going to talk about Love and Logic, folks, and parenting, and we're going to talk about things that parents are struggling with, what they're doing wrong. That's my favorite part.
Right.
What surprises them the most, both, and if we have time, we'll talk a little bit about Montessori education, because Miss Linda is a Montessori trained teacher, early childhood education expert. So, and the things that people are finding when their kids are first going off to school. And since it's right back to school month, I thought we'll talk about kids and going back to school. All right, Beck, Linda, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
All right, so. Love and Logic. So what's that all about? I mean, this is a form of parenting. It's a philosophy of parenting. What do you guys teach them?
It is. It's a philosophy of parenting. It was developed back in the 1970s by Foster Klein and Jim Fay, who were both educators. And they were seeing a decline in behavior, mostly in high schools, middle schools. And one day, one of the two of those gentlemen reached across his desk and punched a student in the face. And he realized there's got to be a better way to do this. And so they embarked on this mission to come up with a better parenting program and educator behavior management program. So what it is raising responsible children through loving boundaries and guidelines. It is teaching them responsibility. And it's sometimes a little out of the box of what we're used to. So we ask people to just think a little bit out of the box. You don't have to agree with everything. But people that are looking to raise responsible children find this very helpful.
Well, out of the box nowadays. I don't think it was out of the box.
There is no box.
In the 50s and the 40s when you wanted your kids to have boundaries and guidelines and responsibilities.
Right.
And now holding kids to that almost... You know, people feel sorry for the kid if you're holding them accountable. We were talking about that last week with grown-ups, right? Remember my rant about Antonio Brown last week? And that we have grown-ups who have not figured out that there are guidelines and boundaries.
It used to be that if your child got in trouble at school, they were afraid to come home because what's mom and dad going to do? What kind of consequence am I going to have? And now they find more and more when you get in trouble in school, the parents go to school and stick up for the kid's behavior so the teacher doesn't really have a backup.
Yeah, the teacher's in trouble with the parent rather than the kid being in trouble with the parent, right? So, all right. So, parenting. It comes in styles. I know this much. And so many of us fall into a category. And it's got to be some sort of discriminatory racist and one of those bad words to be categorized. But some people, and I've learned this over the years, they get too authoritarian, right?
That's a good way to put it.
So what do you guys call it?
Drill sergeant.
The drill sergeant. All right. Oh, we got to talk to Sergeant Mike here. See if he was a drill sergeant type. All right, so drill sergeants, that's a bad thing.
Okay. We challenge parents to look at these parenting styles to recognize the language that they're using with their children. So a drill sergeant would be that parent that is bossy, demanding, that says, you do it now, you do it the way I want you to do it, or else. Okay. So some people think, well, that's how I grew up. That's not such a bad thing. The negative side of a drill sergeant is that you are training your child to listen to a voice outside their own head. They're not doing any thinking. The child is not taking any thought. He's just following orders.
Well, that's because they're kids and they're dumb, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's because it's usually more out of fear. And remember, we want our kids to come back to us when they're older and when they need someone to talk to. So the drill sergeants have a real need for control, and they better control their kids. When those kids every year get older and older, they're going to start to rebel a little more and a little more. And then what you find is that they listen to their peer groups instead of listening to their own consciousness, because they have been trained to listen to a voice that's outside their head.
All right, so they've been trained to
never thought of
figure
it
out
way.
How to do the right thing themselves.
Right. So, yeah. They haven't had any practice making a decision.
Huh.
All right. What's the flip side of that? If I'm not a drill sergeant, how do we err on the other side?
Then we are helicopters, which I can speak about because I am a recovering helicopter.
Nice.
Recovering helicopter parent.
A helicopter parent is a parent that hovers over their child, rescues their child, saves their child from any pain, discomfort, upsetness at all.
Consequence?
No consequences.
No consequences.
That would be a big problem. Yeah.
Dave, for the rest of the hour, would you be our marriage counselor? You got married to a helicopter.
I don't know if I can help you.
Okay.
It was hard for you. I was raised by a turbo helicopter, so
turbo helicopter.
Really had that. So.
So what's the problem there? What's wrong with being there for your kid and always swooping in and helping them out?
Helicopters will tend to steal opportunities from their children to learn something.
Or experience something.
So a helicopter parent is often looked at as a very doting, caring, loving parent. But what it boils down to is that child never gets a chance to learn. And the message that they're getting is, I can't do this without you. I'm not good enough to do this. You have to help me. I need you to do it for me. And it sends kids off to school in the morning feeling like they just can't do anything.
Do you also get, if you're swooping in all the time, are you preventing them from having consequences for their actions and kind of learning in the, I don't want to say the negative way, but learn it by paying the price? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like you didn't pack your gym clothes, and then so you didn't get to participate, right? Or mom will drive down there and go, leave work and go to home and pick up your gym clothes and take it so that you don't have a moment of embarrassment. But that moment of embarrassment teaches you to be. I'm making this up as I'm going along.
Yeah, it's a perfect example. Somebody leaves their lunchbox at home. The drill sergeant will bring the lunchbox to school, but they'll lecture their child. I told you, if you do this again, you're going to be in so much trouble, and you're going to wash the dishes tonight, and blah, blah, blah. And the helicopter is swooping in, oh, honey, I brought your lunchbox. You forgot it. You're going to be hungry. You know, and the child did not get to experience hunger that day. And so a love and logic parent is a consultant parent. So they are the parent that we strive to be. They come alongside the child, and you're driving in your car, and you get to school, and your child realizes they have no lunchbox. This is where it gets tricky. You want to deliver a large dose of empathy because you're going to feel bad for that child.
Am I?
Yes, you are.
You're but I told him five times to take the lunchbox, and
I
didn't
know.
Do it.
Isn't it sad? You might be hungry today. What are you going to do? And the kid says, you're going to go home and get it for me. And I say, oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to work today. Good luck. And you send them to school.
That's hard for parents.
Very hard, because they're afraid that the teachers are going to judge them. They're afraid somebody's going to think they're neglecting their children. They're going to think all kinds of their child's going to starve to death. But I can guarantee you the next day, the first thing in the car will be the lunchbox.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Happens all the time.
Because you know what I would do?
What would you do?
I would reach in the glove department of where I have stashed snacks of some sort, mm-hmm. and just give them the little bar and say, well, this is all I have for a snack for lunch. Maybe
right.
this will help you.
Right.
And
right.
then they'll learn that that's not enough to live on for the day. They'll come home hungry and they'll never forget to bring their lunch again.
Right. Yeah. And it works. And
something like that.
Right. And parents, it's hard for us. So we might do the same thing over and over. They might forget their coat five times. And we still do the same thing. Get your coat. Don't forget your coat. You're going to be cold. Get your coat. If you just let them go to school one day, they're going to be really cold. No, we're not saying this that you're mean to your child, but a consultant parent would say, oh, you forgot your coat. Oh, my gosh, you're going to be so cold. What are you going to do? And you're handing the problem right back to the child. And the child's, I don't know.
The child gets the problem.
The child gets the problem.
To determine the solution.
Right. But as the parent, we help them. We're going to guide them through this. So we're going to say, well, do you want to know what some other kids do when they forget their coat? And the reason we say that is because they don't want to know what we, the grown-up, would do. They want to know what their peers would do.
Right.
So you ask them, do you want to know what some other kids do? And they might say yes. They might say no. If they say yes, you throw out something ridiculous. Some kids try to hide under their desk and not go out for recess. And the kid says, I can't do that. I'll get in big trouble. And you say, yeah, good thinking. That's really good thinking. And then maybe you could go to the office and sit in the office. And the kid says, no, I'm going to miss recess. I want to go out to recess. And you're like, oh, yeah, you're right. Good thinking. Well, maybe some kids borrow a coat from the lost and found. Well, I don't like those coats. I want my own coat. Yeah, I know. Let me know how it turns out. I'm sure you'll make a good choice. And it's up to that child to figure it out.
So you gave them three choices, and you mm-hmm. don't like the choices, and you're, oh, yeah, I know. That's the empathy part.
Empathy.
Rather mm-hmm. than saying, hey, Dumbohead.
Right, right. Or
figure
lecturing.
It out. Uh-huh. Yeah. Or I hope you freeze to death. Okay.
Yeah.
During recess.
For your 10 minutes that you're out there in Oregon.
Right.
Okay. We're going to have to take a break. We're talking to Miss Linda DeHart, my betrothed, talking about raising your kids with love and logic and what that means. She's a Montessori school teacher and has been in town for a long time. And since it's back to school, we're talking about raising kids this hour. Stick with us. We'll be right back on Newsmakers. 1430 KYKN Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by our friends at Color Tile of Salem.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. It is Monday, and we're talking about raising a family. We're talking about raising kids. We brought into the studio my own personal early childhood education expert, Linda DeHart, affectionately known as Miss Linda, Montessori teacher here in town at the Montessori Discovery Center, and a Love and Logic facilitator, parenting with Love and Logic facilitator. And continuing from what we're talking about, and like, there's a disadvantages of being the helicopter parent because your kid is not learning to find solutions to their own mistakes. They're not right. learning to be responsible. They're not thinking for themselves and so forth. And they're not suffering consequences that allows them to grow.
Right.
Are these the same kids that end up living in the parents' basement for like 35
actually,
to 40 years old?
That's a really good question, because actually they both are. Both the drill sergeant and the right. drill sergeant might say, you're going to get an apartment, and you're going to work at this restaurant, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do that. But you can't actually make them do it when they're 18 years old. It's a brain activity. Physically, you can't take them to work anymore. You can't actually do that. And the helicopter child is going to have such low self-esteem and low value that they're going to feel, I can't do it. I don't know how. I'm going to be bad at it, that kind of thing.
The kind of kid that goes to college and wants their mom to talk to the dean.
Absolutely.
Right.
And neither,
you could fix this, right?
Right. Neither one. I'll just give you an example. So I was raised by a turbo helicopter, as you know, Brent. So when I went to college, I had some roommates. And I grew up, I never had to do chores. Never. I never helped around the house. My mom did everything. That's the kind of parent she was. And I tell this story in classes because this is how bad it can get. I didn't know when I went to make my bed in my new room why one of the sheets had elastic in it.
Wow.
I had never made my own bed at age 18, 19 years old. I had never made my own bed.
Didn't know what a fitted sheet was.
Nope.
So that's the downside of helicoptering.
Yeah. So that didn't really help me very much. That was very embarrassing.
But how about doing chores with how did your roommates take that?
I had a lot of learning to do. It was embarrassing. It was hard, and it was embarrassing, and I honestly didn't know how to do it. And there were a lot of frustrations, and I had to learn that growing up. So life would have been a little easier if I had some more skills.
This intersects with so many things we talk about, Dave, you know, and people learning and how much responsibility they learn to have growing up. And I'm here to tell everybody who will listen that if your child is in middle school, it's past time that they're capable of doing their own laundry.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right? We shouldn't have mom and dad doing their own laundry.
Nope.
All of these life skills, you want them to leave with life skills.
Right.
So make them doing their own laundry. I used to employ young people, and I would run into this guy was trying to do dishwashing fluid into wash windows kind of thing, and he was doing it all wrong. And I said, haven't you ever done the dishes? And this guy's like a senior in high school. He goes, no.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that.
All right. So let's go back. And we can't just tell them what to do because that's a drill sergeant. And again, they're not thinking for themselves.
Right.
Where's the happy medium? Now, there's a word that you have used, I've heard over the, and it's distinction, and it's generally just a suffix. If the drill sergeant's an authoritarian,
mm-hmm.
you will do this, and then you'll do this, or else.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And you don't want to be authoritarian, but you still have to be authoritative.
Exactly. You're the parent. You still have to get
who's
them.
Who's the parent?
You are the parent. It is your job to raise these kids with responsibility. So we try to focus on leading with empathy. And empathy is hard for a lot of people.
Especially guys.
I was just going to say, we find that dads mostly come back to class and say, I can't do it. I just can't forget it. I can't do it. And we say, you know, you can just say one line. You could say, oh, I'm sorry, or yeah. And we had a dad who said, how about if I just grunt? And I said, that's better than yelling. That's better than yelling. So what happens is those ones that are demanding, when they yell and tell a child to do, you are putting a child in brainstem because you're threatening them. And so they leave the logical part of their brain behind and they go into brainstem, and you're asking for power struggles as they get older. They're going to fight back as they get older.
All right. So for the scientific, you're basically taking they're no longer thinking with their prefrontal
cortex,
right? Where they can reason.
Right. That's where logic happens.
Where logic happens. And they're going into brainstem. They're going to reptile brain.
Right.
Because they're getting defensive because now it's hostility.
Right. And they're not learning. They're not learning the lesson from the inside out. They're learning the lesson from the outside in. And you want kids to have a lot of practicing making decisions. And let them make a mistake. Let them not do their laundry and go to school and say, you know, I don't have any clean underwear. And you could say, well, son, you want to borrow a pair of mine? You know, you could be funny about it. See what they think. They'll be doing their laundry later. So,
right?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a big lecture or a big bad thing. It just is.
I know we talked about this earlier, last time you were on. What age should they start doing those kinds of thinking for themselves?
Oh, Well, you can do, you start when they're toddler. You can start, they're sitting in their high chair and they throw their food over the edge. Uh-oh, looks like you're done eating. And the food goes away and the toddler comes out of the high chair.
I like that.
Yeah. And it's no big deal. They might cry.
But they learn the consequences.
Right. They tie it together. They're smarter than the family dog is what we always just say. Your toddler's smarter than the family dog. So if the dog knows that the food gets taken away when they do something bad, the toddler knows. So
they have the ability to figure that out.
Immediately. Okay. We underestimate children a lot. We think that because they're little, they're not going to get it. And we just do them a disservice because they know a lot more than we give them credit for.
My father was an educator. Mm-hmm. He was a teacher. And one of the things that really stuck with me in the lesson is that that education is learned over the years is a child will rise to the level of expectation. Mm-hmm. So if you do not expect anything of them, let me scoop that up for you. You can't do that, then they're not going to be able to do that.
Right.
You need
right.
to rise to, you know, set the level of expectation higher in America.
So if I spilled something on the ground, my mom would say, clean it up.
Good.
And then that's how we did it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly
And if
right.
I wanted to go out and play or go see my friends, mm-hmm. we had to do the house chores first.
Right.
Clean your room, do your duties, and we were split up the dishes too.
Right, yeah. And a lot of it's language nowadays. A lot of it is Love and Logic wants you to take out the words if and then. So, for example, if you don't eat your dinner, then you're not getting dessert. That sounds different from kids that eat their dinner are going to get dessert.
Right.
Which one's the kid going to listen to more?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it is in the language.
Yeah, and that might be hard for those of us, some of us, that are like, well, I'm the parent and I'm telling you this and this is the way life is. If this, then that. That's the way life works. Mm-hmm. However, I think what you're trying to explain to thick-headed people like me is that, well, what result do you want out of it?
Exactly.
What result do you want out of it? Do you want them to think that through and give them that choice?
Right.
Kids who... Like in Dave's example, hey, Dave, you know, kids who clean that up get to go out later.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. We do that a lot at school. Kids that have their shoes on get to go to the playground. And they may lay there and say they can't put their shoes on and roll around for quite a while. But the next day when it's time to go to the playground, you go, who gets to go to the playground? What do kids with shoes get to do? They go to the playground and they put their shoes on. Because they thought it's internal at that point. We haven't told them what to do. They can think about what to do.
Kids that put their shoes on get to go to the playground.
Right.
All right. All right, there's more to come. There is a lot more to come. Here we're talking to Ms. Linda DeHart about parenting with love and logic and some ideas to help raise your kids into being, I wrote this down, responsible, happy with guidelines and boundaries. All right, stay with us. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. We'll be right back on Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne and our guest in the studio, Linda DeHart. Yes, I'm related to her. And we turn to her, our Newsmakers, for early childhood education advice, parenting advice. This is a fun day. Thanks for being with us today. And I think one of the things that you see is that we don't want to be embarrassed in public. Right? As parents.
Nobody wants to
so
be embarrassed.
If our child forgot its raincoat, you want them to suffer the logical consequence so that they can learn about making decisions and remembering and this and that.
Right.
But you're afraid that the busybody next door will see your child out in the rain with no raincoat and think you're a terrible parent.
Exactly.
Right? And that's where our society is growing, all these helicopter parents.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like we don't want our child to suffer the consequence because then something bad is happening to the child, so therefore... You're a terrible parent.
Right, right.
But you had a teacher, administrator, a neighbor, or, you know, one of your girlfriends,
mm-hmm.
Right? But you have to do it.
Yeah, have
so
to.
So parents come in. What's the biggest problem they have with, I mean, you're saying guys especially have a problem with the empathy.
Right.
Like, oh, I'm really sorry you got all wet. Right? That's empathetic. Man, right. You must be really cold. Was embarrassing to sit in class all wet?
Yeah. You know? But you were uncomfortable.
But that was uncomfortable. Yeah. That's empathetic.
Right.
And so you're not putting them in brainstem mode. You're not, like, alienating them. You're feeling like, oh, you care about me. It's like, it's rather than calling them a dumb so-and-so.
Right. You don't have to tell them. See, you're all wet. You're cold. I told you were going to be wet and cold. They know. they know they were wet and cold. So you don't have to tell them. So, yeah, the biggest, the number one thing we hear in parenting classes when we ask what skills parents want to learn is that they say that my kids just don't listen to me. I have to say the same thing 10 times, and then they still don't listen to me. That's the number one complaint that parents have. So
I know what you're going to say, I think.
What do you think it is?
They shouldn't say it 10 times, right?
They shouldn't say it 10 times. And what we do as parents is we actually train them, well, dad, I only can do 3 times with dad. Grandma, she can go 25 times before she really means it. And mom, maybe 10 times. So when you say, no, you're not having any candy. You're in the grocery store. I want some candy. Nope, not today. Maybe next time. And they say, but I want some candy. Nope, maybe next time. And they start screaming. Now people are looking at you. You are embarrassed in the store that your kid is acting terribly and having a tantrum. And you try to distract them and get them away, but your kid doesn't give up. Okay, fine. Here's the candy. Who just won?
That's a problem.
And so you've trained your child to not listen to you the first time, right there.
How do you fix that?
You say, no, you're not going to have candy today. Maybe next time. You keep moving and you just let them scream. You're mad, aren't you? I can tell you wanted that candy. And then that's it. You just didn't go to Walmart that day to make new friends. You went to get your shopping done, and you have to let go of watching people watch you. Right, I love to go to the store and watch parent-kid interactions. It's like my laboratory.
I've seen so many different conversations with kids that are acting out in public places, and it's one of the first things I see that they get down to the kid's level. They drop down on a knee, and they look at the kid in the eye, and they say, we don't do that in public.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid still is acting out a little bit, and I don't hear the rest of the conversation because I've kind of moved on, but it's interesting to see the different way that the parent deals with the kid who's acting out in public.
Right.
You want to hear a DeHart family story?
What did you do?
It wasn't me. It was our son.
Okay.
This is hysterical. in Roth's Fresh Markets. We love Roth's, right? And Linda's there with our eldest son, and he didn't get his way.
Okay.
Right? So Linda's leaving the store, you know, and he's not getting his way, and he starts shouting, you're not my mommy! You're not my mommy!
He was 5.
But he was definitely trying to get the attention, and she was, like, sticking to it. It's like, he didn't get his way, and then you just move on with life,
right.
I guess.
Just keep that cart moving.
Yeah, then I'd be saying, well, I guess you're not getting a ride home then.
So the mistakes they make, that's my follow-up question, is the biggest problem is they don't listen, and the mistake they're making is that they're not
consistent.
They're not consistent.
They're not consistent.
Okay.
They give in sometimes, and and the kids know. I just have to wear them down. And you might be having a particularly good parenting day, but if you still give in, it's just as bad as if you had gone and just given it to them in the first place.
When we're talking about the kids and their ability to think through things and to redirect them into something positive, choices is really big with Love and Logic. And by the way, we're talking to Linda DeHart. She's a Love and Logic facilitator. With her partner, Jean Rawlings, here in Salem, but also a Montessori school teacher at the Montessori Discovery Center. What does choices mean? How does that help?
Choices accomplish a lot of things in parenting. They give the child practice making decisions. When you give a child a choice, do you want to put your boots on first or do you want to put your coats on first? You're sharing some control with them. We all have a basic need for control, and that includes your 3-year-old. That's why 2-year-olds have tantrums. They're trying to get control. So when you share choices with them, they feel like they have some say. They have some power in the relationship. So you give appropriate choices. You give two choices. You never get a choice you don't like because they will pick the one you don't like for sure. And like one of our parents in the class said one time, do you want a spanking on your right butt cheek or your left butt cheek? That is not an appropriate choice.
There are some choices.
There's a choice. Would you like to walk to the car or would you like me to carry you to the car? Would you like to have carrots with dinner or would you like to have peas for dinner? Would you like to do your homework before dinner or would you like to do your homework after dinner?
So in the car example, let's say the kid is, hey, I'm playing video games or I'm, you know, playing. I don't want to go to the car. Mm-hmm. And maybe the parent needs to go run some errands or take go to school or whatever. But it's not really an option for the kid to stay home.
Nope.
So that's where I'm like, get in a car, you little rat, is one option. And it's like,
I can totally hear you saying that,
there's
too.
He never
said that?
No, he was a great love and logic parent.
There's, wow. That's the drill sergeant. And the maybe, well, I'll just wait until tomorrow. I'll do it another day. I'll stay here with you would be right. The helicopter.
Exactly. Right?
But love and logic and it would be, well, we're going to have to go. So, well, we're going to go. Would you like me to carry you or do you want to walk?
Right.
At least that diffuses it somewhat. Right. I don't know if you're always going to get your way. But
well, if you start when they're little and you follow through and they know you're going to carry them to the car, when they're 10, 11 years old, by then they know you mean business when you say something because you've been a consistent person and what you've said you've followed through with. It's hard when you start this with a 10-year-old. It's a little trickier because they don't believe you that you're going to pick them up and put them in the car or you don't have that physical power over them, so you start when they're little. And if it is a big kid and you need them to get in the car and they won't get in the car, you can say, you can go back to that language, kids that get in the car get to keep their video games.
Mm. Is that
something appropriate with a 10 or a 12 or younger?
Even younger.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely younger.
Say, for example, you are in a divorce situation. You are getting married to someone else, and you are starting with a 13-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
How do you set the boundaries for that?
Oh, you're screwed.
Thank you.
Give it up.
And thank you.
They say for every year old that your child is, expect a month of love and logic for that issue. So if it's back talk, you can expect to be working on back talk for a whole month before you see a change in that 13-year-old.
Because it takes 30 days to break a habit?
Just developmentally where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be a little easier with a 5-year-old because their brain hasn't solidified quite as much. But so the older they get, the trickier it is. But it can still be done. You never give up. Because you can use love and logic on adults, too. It works with employees, it works with your coworkers,
husbands. Really?
Right.
I've been victim of this the whole time. She's been brainwashing me.
Would you like to do the dishes or the laundry?
There's good choices.
Yeah.
I want to watch football.
Husbands that do the laundry get to watch football.
Wow. You got it, didn't you?
That was funny.
Yeah, she's got you trained.
All right, back to raising our kids. Okay. So,
yeah.
Let's segue a little bit into the consequences because the kids make mistakes after the break.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's segue a little bit into consequences. And you just started talking a little bit about what's age appropriate. We're going to dive into that, folks. I hope you're enjoying your little seminar today at your noon hour here on Newsmakers with Teacher Linda. We'll be right back with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN Salem's Listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. My name is Branton DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne. You're listening to Newsmakers on KYKN. And with us in the studio today is Linda DeHart, affectionately referred to as Miss Linda, early childhood educator extraordinaire.
Or your better half.
And my better half. So And today we're talking about parenting. It's, you know, it's so important to our community for people to know this stuff and for people to know where to turn and that there are resources out there. Where does people learn something like this? I mean, you're not teaching Love and Logic all over the place, but are there resources that people can find that you think are helpful for parents?
The Love and Logic website is extremely helpful. You just loveandlogic.com. You can find all sorts of materials for help. You can talk to a live person. They'll direct you to what articles you might want to read. They have everything. You can call them and say, my teenager is really ruining my life. They'll suggest something for you. So that's a great place to start. And then they can help you find classes around. It's good to know friends that do Love and Logic also. So it's really a community thing. You have to work at it. You can't just do it for 2 weeks and then have it done.
And you can't come over to my house and ask my wife. So
or we do it during parent-teacher conferences a lot.
So we're talking before the break a little bit about kids making choices. What if they don't pick one of your choices?
Oh, that's a very common one. They say, my kid is too smart for that choices. They don't fall for that. And here's how that goes. So they don't want to get dressed in the morning. Would you like to wear your pink shirt or your purple shirt? I don't want to get dressed. Would you like to wear your pink shirt or your purple shirt? 3 times. I'm not getting dressed today. Looks like it's the pink shirt. And they scream, no, I want the purple shirt at that point. Lots of parents go, okay, fine, put the purple shirt on. But the Love and Logic parent says, you'll get to choose tomorrow. Look like today, it's the pink shirt. Because if you let them have that purple shirt, then they just realize, well, these choices don't matter. I'm going to say the opposite of what they say. And they win again. They're pulling that control away from you.
So you're sharing control to a certain point. Until they don't want to share it, they're not even going to participate.
Right.
So you're like, I'm going to choose for you.
Right.
And then they've learned the lesson that...
Well, you are the parent again.
Oh,
you are the
up.
Parent again.
but they'll complain about it.
They will. They'll be in the next day when you say, would you like to wear the red or green shirt? They might think about it a little more. Even those strong-willed
kids.
Because
if they don't select, then they're going to get selected for them and they're still not, you know, getting the way.
Correct.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. That works, huh?
Yeah, it works.
All right.
Sometimes you carry the child out to the car with the pink shirt under your arm, but you still go.
We were talking during the break about how consequences sometimes make parents feel guilty because the kid had to suffer a little bit. And frankly, American generational, we should suffer a little bit more. Dave and I will talk about it politically in another show about how Americans don't really know how good they have it, so they complain about first world problems.
Right, first world problems.
And we talked about parents being embarrassed if a kid has to suffer a consequence because then you're terrible parents. What's the appropriate, what should we allow them to feel? In terms of they've made a mistake and they're suffering a consequence.
So if you're trying to follow through on a consequence because your child's made a poor decision and you're trying to be empathetic and help them solve the problem, but you're letting them experience the pain of their decision, if we always tell parents, if you feel a little bit sick to your stomach, then you're doing it right. Because we are not programmed to let our children hurt. We are programmed to make sure our child's life is pain-free. So when we have to let them suffer a mistake, like be cold without a coat or go to bed with no dinner because they didn't eat it, it's not going to feel good. We're going to feel a little yucky about that. And then you know you're doing the right thing, and in the long run, it pays off.
Wow. That's hard at the time.
It's so hard.
I'm so sorry, Junior. You're going to have to spend the night in jail.
And that's, yeah.
You know what? Sometimes it takes that night to learn.
It's a bummer.
Maybe you shouldn't have gotten into that car.
Yeah.
See
Maybe
you tomorrow.
Should have vandalized the school. I'm really sorry. That's the empathetic voice. Really sorry you're going to have to spend tonight in jail.
Right.
Yeah, I can't help you right now.
No, I'm going to bed.
I'll see you in the morning.
So this works from older hooligans and also two-year-olds. So.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Wow. All right. A couple of quick topics I want to talk about. Age-appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
I think parents a lot of times are delusional when they come with age appropriate. We already talked a little bit about we're not expecting enough of them.
Correct.
So, but there's actually physiological, brain development, appropriate levels for
certain
things.
Exactly,
right?
Right. And that's why going to preschool is great, because those people are trained to know what a 3, 4, 5-year-old brain is doing at the time. So, for example, if a 3-year-old is telling lies, that's part of their development. They don't really know that they're making a moral mistake. They don't until second grade. That part of the brain is when you can reason with a child that's lying. So consequencing a child when they're 4 or 5 years old for lying can be really tricky, because their brain does not have the capacity to make that moral interpretation yet.
Really?
So, mm-hmm. So lots of things like that. We tell a child, go pick up your room, and they go in there and you walk in and nothing's done, and I told you to pick up your room. They are so concrete in their language, where they are at 4 years old, they think you mean pick up the room by your hands and move the entire bedroom. That's what they think.
Oh, so I like them because I'm a literalist, right?
Right.
So,
it's
like, what do
so you have to know where their language skills are and where their cognitive skills are if you are going to expect the behavior that you want.
So parents that have the kids in your classroom, are they expecting the right level of performance out of their kids? Do you ever find them delusional?
I find them surprised most of the time. They're very surprised at what their child can do. Even though they'll come in and say, my kid is so smart, my kid can do this, my kid can do that, they're more surprised that their child puts on their own shoes and unpacks their own lunch and washes their own dishes. So it's a balance.
The miracle thing about this, and we'll talk about it when Miss Linda's a guest in another day about Montessori, but if you were to walk into, on a good day, Miss Linda's classroom, there's about 20 kids maybe, and they're all actively, quietly engaged. And parents will walk in and go, oh, at home he runs around like a maniac, or at home he never has this kind of focus, or at home, how did you get him to unfold his napkin and eat like that? And it's a totally different sort of philosophy. And,
yes, it is.
And it's the level of expectation.
Exactly.
It's like, if you don't expect your kid to be able to,
right,
blank, you're never going to get him to be able to.
Right.
All right. One last thing. We're running out of time. Screen time. What do you tell parents about how much screen time is appropriate at what age?
According to the American Pediatric Association, no screen time under the age of 4 years old.
Four. I thought
four
it was
years
two.
Old. It was two. It's now 4 years old. No screen time. I can tell you that teachers know the first week of school which kids are on too much media and which kids are not by their focus and their concentration. I highly discourage most media, video games. That's a whole nother show. That's a whole nother show.
Get your kids off the screen, folks.
Yes.
You're hurting their brains.
Right.
The brains. One of the things I found interesting, we're going to have to go, but, you know, kids don't know fantasy from reality.
That's
and that's
right.
A real danger when you're letting them watch media and mm-hmm. video games. Okay, we got to go. Thank you, Miss Linda, for
Thank
being
you.
Here. This has been Newsmakers. We're going to have her back. Thanks for joining us with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.